Hej. Sidste søndag talte jeg om min nye helt. Hvad hed han? Daniel. Og jeg er så glad for, at der er så mange af jer, der har været artige. Og sådan har jeg givet feedback på, at I har læst i Daniels bog i den her uge. Jeg har givet jer lektier for. Og hvis I ikke har gjort det den her uge, så gør I det jo bare næste uge. Det er ikke lektier. Det er bare en stærk opfordring om at komme i gang med at læse verdens fedeste bog. Og nogle gange så kan det være svært måske at starte i Nye Testamente, selvom at det er det mest logiske for mange af os. Vi tænker, at det er det nemmeste. Det er det faktisk ikke. Fordi at det kan være svært at forholde sig til alle de ting, som... Ja, der er mange ting, som er svært at forholde sig til. Men historier om, hvad Gud gør igennem mennesker, det siger altså rigtig, rigtig meget. Og det er, jeg tror ofte, at det vil være til stor, eller jeg ved, det vil være til stor inspiration, men jeg tror også, at det vil være nemmere måske at starte der, hvis du ikke har haft din bibel fremme i lang tid. Så endnu en opfordring herfra til at læse i Bibelen og i Daniels bog. Jeg har lige for 10 minutter kvarter siden stået og talt med en ung mand ude i forjen, som fortalte mig, hvad der sker i hans liv. Og det opmuntrede mig helt vildt, fordi det mindede egentlig om sådan en historie om Josef eller om Daniel. Og jeg har bedt ham om at dele den med os. Så... Nu er det helt pinligt, for nu har jeg jo glemt, hvad han hedder. Åh, det er flot. Ej, jeg kan ikke se, hvor han sidder henne. Det går godt. Jeg er også et menneske, der fejler. Ja, det er Lucas. Lucas, where are you? You're there! Would you like to come up here? I don't know how many was here for Christmas when Lucas, he shared his story about how he got sent here by God. And just shared his story of a life where he puts God in the first place. And if God says go, he goes. And God blesses him. And that was of great inspiration to me. So that's why I wanted you to share back then. And now you shared with me just before what God is doing right now. And I would love for you to share with the rest of us. So, please do.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to share my testimony with you. To those of you who heard my testimony, I apologize that I wasn't able to say proper goodbye to every one of you. When I was here in December, I had great time here. Very thankful for all the love and all the friendship that I was able to receive here in the church and all the guidance and inspiration. When I was coming here to Denmark, I didn't know who I'm going to meet, to what church I will go, or where I would be staying, or where I would be working, what I would be doing. I didn't know anything. I just know that God told me to come here. And I went, and it was great inspiration and great blessing for me. Even I later on had some difficulties. In January, when I was planning to come back here to Aarhus, the company I work for almost 2 months went bankrupt, and they did not pay me the money that I used to work there, and they was owing me about 2,500 euros. So it was quite a lot of money. But I remember back then, when I was home waiting, what's going to happen, how I'm going to get back to Denmark and what I will do now. There's a lot of questions coming to my mind, you know, like, was there a purpose behind this? How this can happen if God sent me there and this happens to me, and all these things what was happening, was it a lie or what was it? How should I behave now? And I cannot remember why or how, but I had peace in my heart, and I know that all that has happened here was God's grace, and He planned it that way. And I had peace, and I'm thankful for the people I was able to meet at the restaurant. I didn't have anger at them. I wasn't angry at God. I just pray that He will tell me what should I do next. Because now, when I have no money and nowhere to go, I was praying, God, please show me what should I do now. Do you want me to come back? Do you want me to do something else? Just do something, please, because I need your guidance. And it went on for like a month, the time of waiting and praying that what should I do? And then one of the missionaries come to my church, and he prayed with me for God help that he will show me what his will is for my life. And God told me then that I should go back to Denmark. And I said, God, yes, I would love to, but you see, I have no money, I have nothing again, you know, I'm stuck. And then I said, God, if you want, I will go, but you better prepare the way for me. And the same day, one of the ladies come to me who didn't know about my difficulties. And she gave me an envelope and told me this is from God. And I didn't know what is in, but when I come back home, I opened it and it was 300 euros. That's a month wage in Slovakia. That was a lot. And I was like, wow. And then one of the friends from this church told me that I can stay for free with him. So I think, oh, thank you, God, for preparing the way for me. And then when I was home, it was my last week, 3 days before I was planning to come here to Denmark. I had bought my flight. And there was a job interview that I received. I was just going there out of curiosity. I didn't know what company for, what to do. And I went. And in my eyes, it was a disaster. Because it was one of the biggest and a well-known company in travel industry in Slovakia. And they was having a serious interview for a position that was a cashier. And it was a part-time. So it was terrible money, and it was really low job, but for the good company. And I thought, even something that simple I cannot do properly. But I went home, and I prayed. And I prayed for like half an hour. And then God told me that he will give me the job as a proof of his love towards me. I was stunned. I was like, what? God, you know that... I love you. And sorry, just before, what I was praying is that, God, thank you for all your plans with my life. But if it's something that you could do for me here in Slovakia, I would like to help here, because there is big revival brewing up in Slovakia and I would like to be part of it for now. So I say, God, please, if you can use somebody else in Denmark and I can stay here, please do so. But if you want me to go back to Denmark, I would love to. But it's in your hands. And then God told me that he gave me the job. Interesting thing is that I didn't know what's going to be happening. But I was called to the second interview with a person who is owner of the company. And for the contradictory, the job interview went so well that they told me... Sorry, it's not me. And they told me that they want to get back to me in 3 days. They first say 2 weeks, but I say I'm going on Tuesday to Denmark, so you have to tell me in 3 days. They called me in half an hour and they told me that the big boss says that he wants to employ me immediately and in any conditions. So I was like, wow. And what job are we talking about? I asked. Oh, well, the job of the store manager. I was like, what? The store manager? Yes, yes. He said that he wants you to be a store manager for his new store. That's sports clothes, and we have a ski school there, and rentals. So it's a lot of things to do. And then within 1 month of my being in a company, I was promoted to a position of resort manager. So I'm supervising all the stores that we have in the resort. It's in the mountains in Slovakia. It's beautiful environment, and it's something that I always want to do. But I say, well, this is so hard to get there, and I feel I'm going the wrong way. I was in London, I was cooking, and I was doing all kind of different things. So I was thinking, this is somebody who goes to university and do the steps properly. Sometimes around the 30 years old, he gets somewhere like that. But I was thinking, okay, this is interesting. I wonder why you want me here in this company. And then I get closer with my boss, who is my good friend, and who I can share my testimony and my faith with. And although he's not Christian yet, he seek the Lord, and he had really difficult life. He was a big, I don't know the English word, but he was responsible for taking the one company out of the trouble. There was like 5,500 employees in the company, and he was responsible for getting it right, for curing it. And that's my mentor, that's my boss, who I'm able to talk with. So I was like, wow, he sells airplanes and stuff. And the interesting thing is that I told him that I'm a Christian. And he said, oh, interesting, I read the Bible too. I don't understand everything, but I think it's interesting. We should talk more. And I said, definitely, yeah, I would love that. And we pray. And we pray again, and then we decided that we want to imply the God's principles in our company's policies. So we start working on a manual and start working on guidelines for our company, how we want to give a praise to God and how we want to run our business. And when I told this to some of my friends, they was laughing, because this is one of the biggest and most the company that has most money. People think that, you know, it's evil because it's so powerful and so big. And they say, no, they are not going to change those people. They don't care about people, they care about the profits. And I was able to find someone like that, and the company has 15,000 employees, and we're making a guidelines for all of them. So I was thinking, wow, that's great. And that I can share my testimony and my faith with my employees and with the people I work with. It's also amazing. And I don't know how things are happening there or why, but somehow God is blessing me even on a daily basis. When I'm on a store and I'm selling, my numbers are 3 times better than anyone else in a whole national park. And my boss is so proud of me that always when we go to some big meeting, like top management and so on, he said, look, this is the best-selling person in High Tatras. I was like, so small, I mean, so soon. And then I say, oh, why you do that? What do you think? Because I'm so smart? No, I'm not. You know that I don't have a university degree yet. I was studying, but I haven't finished. It's because God is helping me to learn and to be thankful for what I have, and to appreciate the people. And not thinking about the money, but thinking about the good thing that I can do. And he was quiet, but it's nice. And also, there was a presentation, it was interesting. All of the managers was about to make a presentations about the plans for the summer. And so I did mine. And I was thinking, hopefully I'll be just sitting there quiet and everybody just go around and nothing would happen. I mean, I'm too new to set up the rules and everything. But the big boss was curious about how I'm doing on and everything. So he asked me, have something to say. And if I told him that I have a presentation, that he asked me to present it in front of everyone. And they like it so much that they decided that that will be the presentation that we will go from. So everybody was like, wow, who is this man? And everybody wanted to talk with me then. So he was like, dear me, this is interesting. And also, I'm very happy for the church that I'm in Slovakia, that I can serve there and I can go to the different areas and help with the young people and to share my testimonies and what the God is doing in my life. And we work with the Gypsy people in Eastern Slovakia, and there is a big revival amongst them. There are people being healed. There are people getting new visions. Two of my best friends in my church dedicated their life to God and become a missionaries. One is in Ghana now, and one is in Croatia. So I was like, wow, this is so cool, you know, that somebody told me, oh, life of a Christian is boring. I say, whenever was my life boring? There is so many things happening in my life. I cannot thank God enough for all the excitement, all the love that He do for me. And there's just something more that I want to share. I have one person in my team who is very different to my kind of lifestyle. He likes to go with a lot of girls. He can spend all his salary in one day with prostitutes, alcohol, drugs, and everything. When he goes to work, he's okay. He's not on drugs or anything, but he's really, really worldly. And I was thinking, what am I going to do with this person? This is so different. And when we go in a car and he starts talking about all the bad stuff, and I say, well, there is a line that that's okay, but I say, when it's too much, I would not, you're not going to speak this front of me again. And he understood, and then he told me about what he's doing and what his life. And then he said, what about you, Lucas? How many girls you been out this week? And I told him, you know, actually, I haven't been with any girls ever, because I believe in God and because I want to be pure. And then there was a quiet in the whole car. Everybody like, what? And I said, well, if you're not afraid for your worldly life and love you living like that, and it disgusts me, but I respect you, why should I be ashamed of the life that I live and I'm different? And he said, oh, it's interesting. You're the first person I heard speaking there. I said, oh, thank you. If you want, we could pray sometimes together and maybe you would understand. So then I realized that I'm not here to judge him and not here to make him troubles or anything. But I realized that God died for people like him. And I'm there to help him and to find God and to show him that my point is not to be bad to them and to punish them if they are not good numbers or anything, but to lead them and to show them what God can do. So this is something that that I'm doing on. And yeah, this is just great that I'm able to be back here. I was planning to come back sooner, but we have a season, and we had terrible mess in the economy of our company. And piece by piece, we were solving it out, but I had so much work, and I was going to a lot of Christian activities back home. So finally, I was able to get 10 days off together and come here. So that's wonderful. And also, my boss have a mother who's very sick, and she was about to die because her backbone was broken seriously, and she had a lot of diseases all her life. And he said that he was with her, and he was really, really sad. And then I told him that, don't worry, that I will pray for her, and I will tell in my church and my prayer team, my brothers, that we will pray, and your mother will be healed, and she would not die. And he said, oh, how you can say that? You know, the doctor says there is like 30% chance she's going to survive. And I was thinking, oh, dear me, this is a big responsibility. If something goes wrong and his mother dies, then he sacks me first time without the answer. But I said that I will pray, and I pray, and his mother survived, and she's well, and she's recovering extremely well. So when he come back, he was crying like a small child, and he hugged me and said, thank you, Lucas. My mom, when she heard that there are strange people who praying for me, that she was moved, and it gave her courage that she can go on. And so I want to encourage you, and God will tell you to do something, to tell you whatever. It may sound extremely crazy or something really simple, just do it. Don't look at your abilities, don't look at your possibilities or the chances. Look at God, and He will provide. And He always does for me. I was thinking why that happened thing with the money, but I think that God was testing me or trying if I'm going to be faithful to Him, even though I didn't receive what was mine. And He did bless me about the measures, and I cannot thank Him enough for all that He's doing in my life. So thank you for listening.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much. Wow. That's just... Det er nærmest uvirkeligt, ikke? For en uge siden, der fortalte jeg historien om Daniel. Og i dag, der får I historien om Lukas. Og den er omtrent lige så hardcore. Det er jo fuldstændig vildt. Det Gud, han gør. Gud, han gav mig sådan en enorm ro omkring i aften. Og nu ved jeg hvorfor. Fordi historien om Lukas, den tror jeg, den taler lige så højt, som Bibelen kunne gøre i aften. Han er en af de her moderne, eller i dags troshelte. Lukas har taget sin kampe. Og sidst af, hvordan han levede i en måned, hvis han ikke, hvad han skulle. I en måned. Bad han Gud, hvad vil du med mig? Og han søgte et job, som var så lavt, at han tænkte, åh, skal jeg tage sådan et lavt job? Men Gud gav ham et højt job. Et job, hvor han har indflydelse. Hvor han får lov at snakke med sin boss om, hvem Gud han er. Hvor at hans chef kan se, at de bibelske principper, det er de principper, han vil have ind i hans firma. Så nu bliver Guds principper, de bliver hængt op på væggen på Lukas' arbejde. Det er jo for vildt. Altså, jeg er den eneste, der er helt begejstret over det her. Er det ikke mega vildt? Altså, jeg synes, det er helt vildt. Jeg synes, det er fedt. Det er godt nok lige lidt op at ringe mig. Men altså, jeg er jo også altid op at ringe, ikke? Amen, hører jeg på forsøgge. Det er nemlig rigtigt. Men vi smider lige lidt Bibel om på, ikke? For jer, som er i citygrupper, så har I løbet af den her uge talt omkring, hvordan lever vi sit liv ligesom Daniel? Hvor at folk, de ser på os, og så tænker de, hold op, det er godt nok et meget rigtigt menneske. Der er faktisk slet ikke en finger at sætte på den person. Og hvad er det irriterende? Hvor er den person bare perfekt? Gør bare det helt rigtigt? Og hvad er hemmeligheden der? Og det er jo ikke noget, der kommer af sig selv. Og det er ikke noget, vi skal bestræbe os på. At her i os selv, så skal vi bare være så perfekte, perfekte. Men Paulus han siger sådan her til menigheden i Filippi. Da jeg var hos jer, adlyd I altid omhyggeligt mine anvisninger. Nu hvor jeg er langt borte, skal I endnu højere grad lade Gud få lov at fortsætte sit frelsesværk i jeres liv, i det I adlyder ham med dyb ærefrygt. Det er jo Gud selv, som giver jer lyst og styrke til at adlyde ham og gøre hans vilje. Og lyt så efter jo. Gør det alt sammen, uden beklagelser eller indvendinger. Ingen beklagelser, ingen indvendinger, ingen brok. Det er en udfordring. Så I kan stå som uangribelige forbilleder, Guds uskyldsrene børn. Midt i den fordærvede og forvildede verden, skal I være som strålende lys, der skinner for dem, der lever i mørket. Når I således lever i overensstemmelse med livets ord, kan jeg på dommens dag glæde mig over, at det ikke var forgæves, at jeg kom til jer og arbejdede så hårdt for jeres skyld. Lukas, han blev lagt mærke til, fordi at han var ydmyg. Han søgte et lavt job. Men det gjorde ikke, at han blev sat ned på, fordi at chefen her, han så nogle kvaliteter i ham. På samme måde, så vil jeg bede for os her, at det er det, vi skal få lov at opleve. At hvor end vi kommer, så vil folk se nogle kvaliteter i os. Nogle gudgivende kvaliteter. Noget, vi ikke selv kan frembringe. Vi har forskellige personligheder, og vi har alle sammen noget, vi kan give. Og de her forskellige personligheder gør også, at der er forskellige mennesker, der vi appellerer bedre til end andre mennesker. Der bliver nogen, der synes, at jeg er en... ved ikke, hvad dårlige ting, man kan sige mig. Der er sikkert mange dårlige ting, man kan sige mig. Det er ikke alle, der alligevel synes, at jeg havde verdens mest fantastiske personlighed. Og så er der andre, som synes, at hold op, hun er meget sej. Hende kunne vi godt bruge her. Men vi skal altså komme til et punkt, hvor at vores egen personlighed, den ikke taler højere, end det, som Gud han frembringer i os. Her må også tale omkring åndens frugter. Hvordan at det kan opleves som sådan en checkliste. Noget, som man skal leve op til. At vi skal være kærlige og milde og oprigtige og elskende og selvbeherskelige. Det er ikke, hvis det ikke er et ord, selvbeherskende. Og alle de her fantastiske tillægsord. Det sådan skal vi være. Men det, som er hemmeligheden bag det, er, der står lige ind. Det, som Helligånden frembringer i os, er glæde, fred, tålmodighed, nænsomhed, selvbeherskelse. Alle de her fantastiske ord. Og det vil tale højere end vores personlighed. Og der vil vi få lov at opleve og blive peget ud blandt alle andre mennesker. Hvad er det, du har? Hvad er det, der gør, at du lykkes så godt med det, du gør? Hvad er det, der gør, at Lukas han sælger 3 gange så meget som de andre? Det er det samme, der gjorde, at David, Daniel og hans 3 venner, der stod, de havde 10 gange så meget visdom som de andre, som havde fået den samme uddannelse. Derfor udmærkede de sig. Derfor løftede Gud dem op. Derfor kom de op ved siden af kongen og blev hans nærmeste rådgivere. Og fik lov til at bringe Guds principper ind i en fordærvet og forvildet slægt. Sådan en slægt er vi også en del af. Ja, vi har det da meget godt her i Danmark. Og det er da ikke så slemt. Og mine klassekammerater, de er da nogle dejlige mennesker. Og det er da okay. Ja, men de lever i mørket. Og så kan du pipe lidt op om Jesus en gang imellem. Men jeg tror ikke, det bliver til så meget lys. Som hvis du måske taler mindre om Jesus. Og prøver at give mere plads på Helligånden. Så han kan frembringe de her ting i dig. Som vil gøre, at folk lige ser på dig og tænker, hov. Hvad er det, der sker der? Hvorfor er det, at det her menneske lyser mere end de andre? Hvorfor er det, at det her menneske er så fantastisk at være her nærheden af? Hvorfor er det her menneske lykkes med de ting, som han eller hun tager sig for? Og så kan vi med frimodighed svare, når vi bliver spurgt. Jamen, jeg kan kun sige, at jeg ved, hvor jeg henter min inspiration. Jeg ved, hvor jeg henter min kraft. Det er ikke i mig selv. Jeg er ikke skabt som det her perfekte menneske. Jeg har lyst til at lige bede Teresa og gutterne om at komme op på scenen igen. Jeg tror på, at Gud han arbejder. Helligånden han arbejder i jer. Og vi skal ture og lade os udfordre. Igen vil jeg sige til jer, læs historien om Daniel. Og for jer, der har læst historien om Daniel, så læs historien om Josef. Som også er en fantastisk historie om, hvad Gud han gør. Og mange af jer måske tænker, men den kender vi godt. Det er en meget god historie. Læs den igen. Læs den. Lad den tale til jer. Læs den grundigt. Få alle små detaljer med. Læs den og se og tænk. Hvordan kunne det se ud i mit liv? Hvis Gud han gjorde bare en lille smule af, hvad han gjorde i Daniel og Josefs liv. I mit liv. Hvordan ville det se ud? Hvilke mennesker vil jeg egentlig have mulighed for at have indflydelse på? På hvilken måde, på hvilke områder vil Gud kunne give mig, ikke magt, men indflydelse, taleret ind i menneskers liv? Og tør vi det, når vi får præsenteret muligheden? Vil vi turde sige ja til en stilling højere end det, vi nogensinde selv havde drømt os om for os selv? Det håber jeg, at vi alle sammen vil ture. I respekt og taknemmelighed for, at det er Gud, som satte os på den. Og i forståelse af, at der hvor Gud giver position, der hvor Gud han giver indflydelse, der hvor Gud han giver taleret, der er det for, at vi skal pege på ham. Der er det for, at der er en gyld mulighed for, at vi kan gøre en forskel. Vi kan vise, hvad et liv med ham, det gør. Og vi vil fejle fælt, hvis vi prøver i egen kraft. Og det vil være topflot, når vi skal fortælle vores kolleger eller vores klassekammerater omkring Gud. Fordi det vil blive sådan, åh, nu må jeg også hellere. Det fede vil det være, hvis de kommer til dig, fordi de kan se, hvad Gud gør i dit liv. De kan se åndens frugter. Ikke åndens tjekliste. Åndens frugter. De ting, som ånden frembringer. De ting, som kommer naturligt. Vi tror tit, at det også skal løbe rundt med banner, hvor der står, Gud er sej på. Gud skal nok vise selv, at han er sej. Det er han faktisk bedst til. Men han vil gerne bruge os. Han vil rigtig gerne bruge os. Jeg er slet ikke i tvivl om, at en del af vækkelsen i Slovakiet kommer til at foregå ud fra Lukas og det arbejde, han gør i en sportsbutik. Hvem havde tænkt det? Hvem havde lige tænkt det? Men Gud, han er bare sejere. Og Gud, han er bare større. Og jeg glæder mig til at høre jeres allesammens historie om, hvordan Gud, han gør det. Og jeg vil rigtig gerne, at vi giver plads for os her i Passion. At I kommer til mig, hvis I oplever noget Gud han gør. Noget, der kan være til opmuntringer for hinanden. Det kan være små ting, men hvor I bare kan se, hov, her skete der rent faktisk noget, som måske ikke kunne blive til noget stort. Lad os på den måde være med til at opmuntre hinanden. Vi er ikke en stor ungdomsflok endnu. Og det er vi. Men i forhold til, at vi er en kirke på 400 medlemmer, og det tal, det vokser nærmest hver uge, hver måned. Vi er stadigvæk så små, at vi som er her, vi kan virkelig have indflydelse på hinanden. Vi kan tale opmuntring ind i hinandens liv. Så vil det også være, når vi er 100 og 200, som jeg ved, at Gud han vil sørge for, at vi bliver. Han taler helt klart om, helt fra start. Det er de små fællesskaber, hvor at vi har mest mulighed for at dele de her ting, cellegrupperne. Men jeg opmunder jer til også at komme og dele det med mig, eller nogle af de andre ledere, dele det med jeres cellegruppeledere. Og så kom her med det. Lukas' historie does the trick, altså. Ikke sandt? Det gjorde det i hvert fald for mig. Om ikke andet, så har jeg da fået noget med hjem. Jeg vil gerne, at vi synger den her God, I look to you. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. Og synger vi, I won't be overwhelmed. Og hvis I lige så forvirret omkring den sætning, som jeg er, så bare syng den. Og så synge videre og tænke på resten af teksten. Give me wisdom. Giv mig visdom. Det var det, min undervisning handlede om sidste uge. Om behovet for visdom. Ind i alle situationer. Så vi ikke bare løber derudad og bare sådan, jeg skal ud og gøre det hele for Gud. Og det bliver så fantastisk. Og kristuner opfordrer os til at være ligesom Daniel. Så nu skal jeg bare på toppen. Nu skal jeg bare have magt. Og vi kommer ikke så langt uden visdom. I hvert fald så tror jeg, at fattet bliver stort og flovt. Visdom. Så lad os søge det hos Gud. Og når jeg så synger, Halleluja, I got rains. rigtig dejligt, at Therese, hun gad at slå det op i dag, ikke? Dejligt, at vores lovsangsleder gider at tænke over, hvad er det egentlig, vi synger? Hvad er det, jeg får de kære mennesker til at stå og synge? Dejligt. Tak for det. Al pris til Gud. Daniel gav altid ære til Gud. Så snart han kunne. Ikke sådan lang tid efter, at Gud havde gjort noget sej, så kommer han lige tilbage. Hov, forresten, det var ikke mig, det var Gud. Så var Daniel ikke. Så snart, at der blev set hen til ham for visdom. Men det samme, så var han der til at fortælle. Det her, jeg kommer med nu, det er ikke menneskelig visdom. Det, jeg kommer med nu, det kommer med, fordi at jeg er bare så meget bedre, jeg er bare så meget klogere. Jeg kender en Gud, der er større. Han har al visdom, han har al indsigt. Den får jeg lov at give videre. Sådan skal vi også være. Vi skal vide, hvor vi henter vores visdom. Hvor vi kender, eller vi skal kende, hvor vi henter vision, udsyn, klarsyn. To see things like you do. Se tingene, som du ser dem, Gud. Og skal vi give ham ære for det.